Hey there. How you doing? You're listening to 42 Minutes, a production of Sync Book Radio and thesyncbook.com, a program interested in Jupiter and beyond. I am Will Morgan, and this is episode number 98. Today is the 20th of August, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Douglas Bowles.
Thank you, Will. Hope you and everyone is doing well this evening. Before we begin, I need to take a moment and thank our listeners for the recent generous donations. We really do have a great audience, and I just want to thank you for listening and donating. Recently, I received a wooden Holy Grail from Canada, as well as getting word that a onesie with a Sync Book 2 artwork on it on its way to me. Yes, I know.
I got a spoon.
You got a spoon?
There is no spoon.
There is no spoon. Thank you so much. And if you would like to support the show, click on the green back on our website, 42minutes.com, and throw us a couple bucks to cover production costs. Thank you so much. Also, we're sad to relate that one of our scheduled guests tonight, Jake Kotza of the SyncCast program, The Starmie, had to cancel. We'll get him again really soon, and we wish the Turtle Mountain goers all the best. Enjoy this full moon, and you can access SyncCast on syncast.net. It's a live synchronicity program, and we recommend you checking out.
We'll have more about tonight, that later, I'm sure. They're having a show in September, but I don't think that there's a date yet.
I think you can find the older episodes, too, available to check out, too. So do so. Tonight, I'm turning the tables a bit as the program zooms in on two recent synchromistic video drops. And here, I'm nodding at two of the founding members of the Sinkhole. Yes, we've got some OG sync heads in the house, as tonight's 42 Minutes connects with the accidental alchemist after taking a few shots to Sean.
Yeah, bitches.
That's John Kidd, who can be found at jfdk1982blogspot.com, and William Morgan, who is responsible for a number of things, including a chapter in the first Sync book, the Merry Men podcast, co-creating a little show by the name of 42 Minutes, as well as a number of recent Sync videos that can be found at his YouTube channel, which we will link to in the show notes, as well as John. Will's blog can be accessed at afewshotstoshaman.blogspot.com. Good evening, gentlemen. Let's talk sync.
That was
all right. Can I say something to start it all off?
Please.
Can people please donate? It's very, very important that in this day and age when it's so easy to donate that you take time and send a couple bucks to anybody that's working on this kind of work, because we need a good excuse for our significant others to let us do this and to keep doing this, so please donate. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, and by your chops, when we start doing our pledge drive episodes, we'll have you on. We'll get you the phone numbers.
I got some intimidation tactics.
5446133 9. Call up.
Douglas's kid.
Ring, 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 ring. Yeah, the phones are ringing. Ring, ring, ring.
Okay, so John, you have a brand new video that just came out about a week ago.
Yep.
And this is kind of a more realized version of the Jim Carrey sync up. What is this video called?
The Bridge Over Jim Carrey. Like Bridge Over Troubled Water kind of thing.
Okay. And awesome. Where can we find this?
Well, I put it up on YouTube, so you just type that in. The Bridge Over Jim Carrey. It's right on my channel, and it'll come up right away. So
say your channel real quick so people know.
It is what is it now? It's just
I've got
John
it.
Kidd.
It's
it's just John Kidd now, or
John Kidd the Third.
Yeah.
User / John Kidd with two D's.
If you type in the bridge over Jim Carrey, it comes right up on a Google search.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Are we going to watch this? Because we can do that. We can do that in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Okay, so we did the one, the sync up, about Jim Carrey, where we did the Majestic and the Mask. But this goes like a step further. I mean, I'd like to say I've never seen anything like this before. We have the Kubrick Transformer, but this is like a whole new ball game. I would like to think, well, I want to know what you
think,
Doug.
Well, I'm curious why you think this is a whole new ball game as far as sync up goes. Because
there's no explanation. I mean, we can, okay, you can hash out the whole dark side of the rainbow gig and everything that's come after it, and all of those are interesting and by far, like, groundbreaking. But, I mean, this is how many different movies? Four? We got four running right here?
Well, there's more, but this is all I'm capable of doing with my computer. I can't. My computer doesn't have the hardware to do what I want to do. And it's just a tracing. I just keep retracing it. So basically people are getting to see a storyboard of a project that I'm just going to keep working on until I get it where I'm comfortable or until I start, you know, until I hit dead ends. And there is no dead ends that I can see of. You know, I'm just going to keep compiling it until I find, you know, like, a good time on a video, too. If it's 20 minutes long and everything seems to go well, then that's it. But if it's an hour long, then, you know, I'm going to make it worth watching. Try to.
Okay, so what do you guys make of this? So, like Will's saying, you've got four movies running all at the same time. It's Jim Carrey, and then you have uncanniness happening all over the place.
Yeah, you don't even have to try. Like, you could do it yourself if you've had the time. If you've got a Jim Carrey collection, you just... You take the clips from the movies and, you know, all the bridge scenes from anything you can think of with Jim Carrey and you watch it. And you can overlap them at different times and different things happen. So, you know, we're all offset one track from another for 3 seconds, you'll get two different syncs or two new kinds of syncs. And then if you move the track backward a bit or forward a bit, whatever direction, within a few seconds, it, like if you line up lightning strikes, during the scene in The Mask and then The Majestic, you get different things syncing up, and it's, I don't know what to think of it. I really don't. I mean, I just feel compelled to keep drawing it. You know, like some artists, like H.R. Giger, just would draw the same piece of pipe in a wall with a vagina in the middle, and you just keep drawing that same piece over and over again, you know? And that's how I feel. You know, I'm painting a picture, but I gotta keep doing it.
I think that's the main qualification for my comment right there, Doug, is that I've never seen anything like it because I don't know what to make of it. Like, it's just baffling. There's so much texture to it that it's just like it's too much stimuli for the taste buds.
Okay, and so do you think that's because he is such a dense archetype or like embodiment of the archetypes, or we're exploring this thought in the show a lot as far as what happens on film, you know, and then exploring how these unconnected things end up connecting.
Yeah, like these stars, they just kind of, within a certain radius of them and the camera, Andros, Joes, Jim Carrey, all these attractors, they seem to actually put out, with their intent and with their rituals, they seem to put out some kind of physicality. And it seems to get picked up even when it's written. So when these actors read these written scripts, it becomes a part of their mind, and then their influence and all the energy that they put into preparing for the role or whatever it takes kind of intermingles with the physicality of everything that's going around them. But you got to ask yourself, is it just some kind of fractal permeation into the minds of the writers, the storyboarders? Like, it seems to go through everybody because, you know, you got your end result being the movie.
I like the way that you said that. Some kind of that's. But okay, so the thing that's interesting to me is like when we did the two of them, it was one of the biggest videos or one of the quickest videos that I had ever made that caught on, or that I put up on my channel, because you basically made it, John. I just made it happen. But you put it together. Now when you times it times two like that, I mean it just drives you mad. And there's so many little things that it depends on the viewer to see. That's what interests me a lot. Like towards the end of it, when there's so much, there's like two of the videos keep going on, two of them drop out, and then there's the whole rescue scenes going on. But a lot of people's responses, I think that the reason it gets such a big tug on people who are interested in viewing it, people who comment, how much energy it makes as far as people talking about it, it's because it looks intentional. But it plays with your noggin, because there's no way that it can be intentional. There's no reason why it would be intentional. This, I wish we had Mark LeClaire with us on here tonight. I really do wish he could be.
See, I actually just started learning about a famous Russian psychologist. I'm not any good with names, but he helped pioneer. You might know who he is if I mention him, Doug. You might know that Russian scientist that hooked up the machine to measure the amount of dog drool that a dog salivates.
Oh.
You remember the name of that guy?
Pavlov,
yeah. Okay, he had a protege who worked on orphans and tested on them and did the same thing. He hooked up a saliva measurement device and did an experiment with cues where you would ring the bell and then you'd feed the child. Eventually they'd associate the bell with food. So when you ring the bell, the child would salivate, even though there was no food, right? So he was the father. Pavlov was the father of advertising. So if these things are all intentional, I think that the science involved in making these things intentional is just, it's the reason why filmmakers have to go to school. It's the reason why certain filmmakers go to certain schools. And these secret schools that we hear about that are a big conspiracy and they're magical, they're just secret information. And if you have enough money and you have the right blood, you get access to it. And you get to realize that the human mind is so malleable and impressionable. It's, we don't even get it, because we are owned by them, of course. We can't cross borders. We're not allowed to leave our country without a passport, so we are technically pets to our owners, and, they give us a pretty good life for the most part over here in America. Anyways, they go to school, and they learn the science of this stuff. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you're going to school for how many years? What are you learning? What are they teaching you? They're teaching you psychology. They're teaching you symbolism, like video game designers being told to put Egyptian symbolism into their games or Aztec geometry into their games because it appeals to the subconscious, like the self-organizing subconscious structures that everybody imagines in their own minds just naturally. They use this flow, and if you can tap into the psychology of a person by using a movie, then you can sell them anything, and that's the name of the game. It's creating, it's a marketing thing.
Well, see, this doesn't make any sense to me. Most of all of the subliminal books that I've read quite a bit, and most of the propaganda books that I've read, they all have to do with marketing. They all have to do with money and stuff, but this seems to be something else completely.
Well, that's who I call the trickster god, of course. Stanley Kubrick, the guy that committed suicide that played Joker, Heath Ledger, they're all, they all kind of embodied him. He can take on a physical form, but you have to invite it. And then the ultimate price, of course. Bob Dylan definitely borrows or is used by the trickster. Certain celebrities get to use his spirit, just like the Holy Spirit, It's the same thing. It's just the opposite energy. That's just what I was raised to believe, and that's what I feel. It's painfully obvious that the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked god. But people tend to think that when we die, we're going to go to heaven, to an unphysical realm. I subscribe to the idea that everything that God put here is perfect and good and beautiful on its own, and that when you take the temper tantrum devil away from this system of things, then the earth on its own is good. Like what Jim and Jake are teaching is all the good stuff is here. You know, it's right there for you to see and be a part of and appreciate. But
which is interesting. So that how do you think that the think then is a message from the source?
It's a message from God and from Satan. You get sync from either end. Alex Robinson talking about how synchronicity is dangerous as well as it is good. You know, that's the energies. Energies at every level. Positive and negative energies at every level of everything. So you got your negative sync and your positive sync. And they are like, you know, rivers that are flowing, and you can't see them obviously, but you see the ripples and the flow, their effects. You know, that's how I think of it. Maybe the dark sink is like a flowing lava, and the light sink is your crystal clear mountain river. You know, the shit that feels right, and you just want to be in it all the time. You want to jump in that river, but you don't want to step in the lava. But it's at the same time, it's mesmerizing when you're staring at the lava forming and doing its thing. Like, if you submerge yourself in the evil, then yeah, bad things are going to happen. Same with sink. If you don't submerge yourself in it, then you're just looking at it, right? And it's still cool to appreciate and look at things, but jump in, you know? Jump right in there. Don't jump into the lava, though, obviously. Looks cool, it's beautiful, but don't go in there.
Sink or swim.
Sink or swim. That too. See? Up, down, forward, backward. Like, you stay under the water too long, you're dead.
All right, Will, tell us about your latest video then. What did you do most recently?
I did a little video about Andras Jones. We talked a little bit about it in the green room that you just put up with Andras Jones, actually, but now I have actually put it out to be seen. It is called What's Wrong with the Mirror? And go ahead.
No, you're doing great.
Well, it's basically went down to the nuts and bolts of Andras's sync web and split it into three parts. That being
and
the redhead,
part was called
the sacred kind, which is basically dealing with the attraction of redheads in Andras Jones's work. Which is probably an ambiguous type of symbol, but we had to do that one first to make sense of the mirrors. And this part is the deals with mirrors. Now, each of the videos, The Sacred Kind and What's Wrong with the Mirror, are named after Andras Jones songs that he has in his collections with his band, The Previous. So he actually has a song that's about, the title of the song is, you know, that he has a girlfriend who's a whore of the sacred kind. And then he has another song about what's wrong with the mirror, about waking up after partying and seeing the mirror all jacked up.
So then do you have a vision for the third video, or is it still kind of in the pot stewing?
Well, there was a bigger script. There was a script that had all three sections planned out, and of course they have been written and rewritten and then written again. For this particular installment of the series, we use the narration of Radong Chung. And so, you know, depending on who narrates, sometimes it gets rewritten and ideas get thrown back and forth, and of course the narrator has the choice of.
So this, this is a little strange, you know. So you're recontextualizing media, but now you're doing it with people who were in the media. Like, have you thought about that?
You know, that was the intention.
I know, but does it kind of fry your melon a little bit? So, like, think back to 2009, you know, when we're just cutting our teeth on sync videos. Like, hey, look at this. I put this and this together, and look how cool this is, right? And so then flash forward to 2013, and you have Radon Chong narrating a sync video about one of the, you know, this guy who was in Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
I'm just waiting for the day that Jim Carrey calls one of these guys.
See, that's what's so baffling to me as well. I mean, for people who are keeping up with what's going on in entertainment news, they should be aware that Kick-Ass 2 is coming out, and they should also be aware of Jim Carrey's pushing against having anything to do with promoting Kick-Ass 2.
I thought that was Nicolas Cage. Is that Jim Carrey?
That's Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey said that the movie was too ultra-violent, that he would not help promote it. But in doing so, he helped promote it. I mean,
right.
And he's a big Eckhart Tolle fan. He's a big spiritual guy. He's a big... So you would think something like this would make him perk up and say, hey, look, you know... The thing that kind of worries me is the fact that he's not paying any attention to us. We're kind of... That might lead some people to believe that he's intentionally not saying anything because he knows what's going on. There's a lot of things that are involved with Carrey that make you think that it's intentional as hell. I mean, some things, as far as Carrey's concerned, in my opinion, to think that he's not putting certain images and things in his videos over and over and over and over again is just naive. It's to the point where it's like you have a theory that it's all like just non-intentional and synchronicity, but that's almost insulting the artist's intention. And it's like there's a painting by an artist by Pablo Picasso called The Dreamer. Have you ever seen this before?
Yes. Playing guitar.
The Dreamer. Have you ever seen this? I think it's Pablo, isn't it? Pablo Picasso. We'll do this in real time so everybody can bring it up. So if you bring this picture up of Pablo Picasso, you've seen this?
Yes.
Have you seen this before? And what is she dreaming about?
Oh, I've never seen that one.
No.
You've never seen this painting before?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When it was a thumbnail, it looked totally different. I've never seen it at that scale. But, okay. What is she dreaming about? The meadow, plants?
I don't know. This might be coming out of her butt.
Okay, so if you would cover up her face from the nose down, what do you see?
Is this the one with the dick hanging down?
Yeah.
I don't see it, but okay, so if you cover up...
If you cover up, you see how her face is split from the nose down in a very Pablo Picasso style? If you cover up the nose, it's a penis. And then if you look down at her hands where they are, you quickly realize what she's doing. And this is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
It's insulting to the artist to think that this is not intentional.
Oh, I'm looking at the total wrong image. I googled it and it brought up some other kind of
put the dreamer Pablo Picasso.
You talked about this watch.
Right. I mean,
well, you might have you've got us all, our wires are totally crossed now, Morgan.
No, there's a point.
There's two images that are showing up.
I think you're trying to say that if you discover the way the magician does the trick,
right?
Of course he's going to try and deny it first so people don't find out, right? But, you know, at the end of it, when it's totally unveiled and it becomes popular how the trick is done, then, you know, that's the end. You're exposed, and you lose your audience, right? Unless you think of something more clever.
Right.
That's what a magician's got to keep inventing a bigger, better trick.
So pointing my attention towards Andras Jones does something totally and totally different, though. We can argue...
Non-intentional. You had to point it out to him.
You had to point it out to him. And there's no way, because it's so eclectic and so fucking random, that it's intentional. There's just no way. And
the writer and the director are... What about that?
Three or four of his directors are from different countries. There's a Chinese director. There's a German director. I mean, I had to pay like $50 to get some of these movies. They're not being shown, or they were only shown... Like, The Prom was only shown at film festivals.
Do you think their intentions as a film were to be obscure, though? Or do you think that they wanted to hit a market and become popular?
My point is, as far as Andras Jones is concerned,
they wanted to be successful commercial products.
Yes.
Like that,
yeah.
But they weren't paying attention to Andras at all. Okay, you have to look at The Attic Expeditions, which is actually probably one of his most successful, or potentially most successful films. Probably his most successful was Nightmare on Elm Street 4, who was made by the guy who ended up marrying Gina Davis, and made Cutthroat Island and so forth and so on. It was actually written by the guy who did the movie 42 about Jackie Robinson.
That was the strangest thing to me, that sink there, that the screenwriter for Nightmare went on to write 42.
Right. He also wrote Conspiracy Theory. I had
right.
this weird sink the other day because there's all of this Catcher in the Rye stuff floating around Andras Jones as well. And then, so I went back and watched Conspiracy Theory. It's actually written by the same guy, too. Brian Hegel, what is it, Hegelman? He wrote Conspiracy Theory, and I was all twisted up because all of these redheads that are all over Andras Jones. And in the Alien Nations that you see, there's a cool scene because the alien reads faster than Andras. There's all this time that Andras spends in the classroom in all of his movies. And he either is illiterate, or he's having reading problems, or he's not showing up to class. Or in Nightmare on Elm Street 4, he's actually in front of the class, or not in front of the class, but standing up in the class talking about Metamorphosis by Kafka. So there's this like literature, books, classroom, there's all this thing. And then he's having problems competing with this alien in the TV show Alien Nation. Obviously, Andras wants to get down and dirty with this redheaded teacher. But the redheaded teacher has more of a connection with this alien because the alien can read and absorb the information quicker than he can. So Andras tells, they actually go, in the episode, they actually go to the observatory in L.A. that Joe Alexander always talks about, the Griffin Observatory. And Andras gets pissed off because he can't compete, so he up and leaves, and then he goes and he tells on he goes and tells the principal that the alien and the teacher are having an affair. So the teacher gets fired, and then she goes to the alien, and when she goes to the alien looks up and goes, "Have you ever read The Catcher in the Rye? I'm going to read all of Salinger's stuff." And there's all this MK Ultra stuff that's swarming around The Catcher in the Rye, and all of these movies Andras Jones is getting, he's getting, you know, reprogrammed and stuff, and he's getting brainwashed, and The Attic Expeditions, there's just brainwashing, like Catcher in the Rye, redheads. And then I sit down and I watch Conspiracy Theory, and Conspiracy Theory has Mel Gibson being brainwashed by The Catcher in the Rye, and he's in love with Julia Roberts, whose name is Alice. The exact same name that is, you know, Nicole Kidman in Eyes Wide Shut, and Andras Jones' sister's name in Nightmare on Elm Street 4, her name is Alice, and it's like,
so then
it's like it's the same writer. It's the same
smile.
Writer.
Are you gonna smile and say ah, you know, and like have that like Zen Buddha moment?
I do, but how do you explain
or are you going to go crazy and realize that, like, you try and unravel the mystery?
Well, you have to, I mean, if you go back and you watch conspiracy theory, especially now, it's like loaded with all of these things that pertain to, you know, our conspiracy-minded head now. Like, it was written longer ago. It was you know, before any of us were into this stuff.
97?
Brian Hagelin wrote it. Right. And
I don't know. I was definitely... When did I start tuning into Art Bell? But when were the X-Files on? It seems like
the
kind 90s. Of stuff... Like, yeah, it's like that stuff is... Well, I remember, like, Amazing Stories. Like, there's certain... Even Spielberg, Close Encounters.
JFK was what, 92? See, even in conspiracy theory, the TV or the movie, he makes that point. They have this one section where they're talking about the. It says the Oliver Stone and George Bush connection, which I found was very interesting. And then Mel Gibson makes the point. He's like, oh yeah, how do you think that he can make and know all of the information that he does? It's because he's in on it. He's like the George Bush crony. Well, after that, you know, after 2001, way after conspiracy theory was made, what does Oliver Stone end up doing? He ends up putting out the WTC propaganda and actually making a movie called W.
Mm-hmm. You've lost me a sec. Say that again. So you don't have to say the whole thing. So did Hagelin directed W?
No, Oliver Stone directed W.
Oh, okay.
But in the conspiracy theory movie, Hagelin brings up the point that there's a connection between Oliver Stone and George Bush.
We're probably murdering his name.
It's Hagelin.
Okay, good.
Did you tell me about Woody Harrelson being related to some kind of a killer or something?
Yeah, Woody Harrelson's dad is a CIA agent. Who's actually, I think he might be dead now, but he was actually in jail for murder, and he's been, in quotations, identified as one of the three tramps that were on the grassy knoll.
Okay, yeah, that was you. I think that it's a hyper-intelligent extraterrestrial demonic force that... hyper intelligent and they I was taught that demons can manipulate things to line up with intentions. Like when you sell your soul to the devil in order to get that record contract, the demons that work for Lucifer have got to take all the elements to get you that, and they've got to make it line up for you. So it's a series of booby traps and tripping and repeating black cats, things like that. You know, they understand, these hyper-intelligent beings understand our psychology like we understand how to take care of a hamster.
Or a dog.
You know, and that's what I mean, is I think we're being hidden from God, our godparents, our godmother and our godfather. And, you know, there's so many of these demons that rule these systems. There's so many systems out there that are all ruled by individual demons and angels, and they're supposed to be responsible for them, much like we're responsible for our plants. You know, and Satan or Lucifer's got to water the garden and prune and do his thing, but he's just torturing us. And when God finds out about that, he's going to get fucking spanked. Sorry for swearing, but that's what I mean, is that all of his minions are so intelligent that they could do all this stuff in these movies.
You're talking all of this crazy-ass shit, and you're worried about saying the word fuck?
This isn't crazy-ass shit. This is philosophy, Will.
If you swear, it's supposed to mean that you tell the truth. I heard that. I don't know. I don't know if there's any validity to it.
Oh, interesting.
The person that swears a lot is a truth teller. I don't know. I liked it anyways. I fucking liked it.
My dad said, hey, Will, I listened to your podcast, and boy, you say the word fuck a lot. My dad, you say the word fuck all the time. And he's like, yeah, but I don't put it on the internet.
Oh, at least your dad listens to your podcast.
<He does. laughs>
just in case, my father's birthday.
Just kidding, Dad.
Tomorrow is my father's birthday, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Doug's dad.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
he's not turning 42, you can guarantee that.
Well, let's talk about Jake Kotz's new work, the Charlize video. Have you guys seen this?
I did, but it's so... I like to think of Jake as in grade 12 and I'm in, like, grade 7, and I don't mean that disrespectfully to myself. I'm not trying to say that Jake is on a different level. I just mean he has more education.
Jake doesn't need to hear that. That's like killing a mockingbird. You can give Jake's pat on the back, but don't, like, start filling his head with it.
But it's interesting, this, because I don't know that I've ever seen...
Jake doesn't give a shit about compliments.
...video organized around...
I wouldn't be so sure.
A lot of times, you know, the theme presents itself either in the actor or the date, like, or the event.
Well, see, this is interesting because...
But this one kind of really zoomed in on alcoholism, which is interesting.
Well, listen,
so,
because... Theron, or how, like, you know, David Plait on our sister show, Always Record, always calls her Megatheron. I mean, which means beast. To me, she's always been this real hashed-up version of the same theory, the same kind of subject matter that I found in Andras Jones. And it's real interesting because both... Charlize and Andras's birthdays are really kind of close. And they're both Leos. When Leo oversees that card of the beauty and the strength card. Now, if you look at Babylon, she's always holding a cup. She's holding a cup in that old 1927 Metropolis movie where they intentionally use the symbolism of Babylon. She's got a cup above her head. On the Crowley card, she's got, because she's supposed to intoxicate.
Does she connect to one card? Does she connect to one card?
Well, the Babylon can, yeah, well, the Babylon from Revelations is the strength card, the Beauty and the Beast card, and she's supposed to intoxicate.
Does Andras connect to one card as well that you found so far, or just
multiple
cards?
Andras mainly has to deal with the strength card as well. But Beauty and the Beast has to do with mirrors, and then...
So you're twinning them right now.
Yes. Yes. And there's a lot more that have to do with this as well. I mean, the whole Beauty and the Beast theme, I like it because it's one of the biggest ones. It all has to do with this devil, beauty, and then the baby. It's got King Kong involved. It's got Keanu Reeves involved.
Sure.
It's got and John
and
Constantine
then the idea that
and
the
Devil's
devil
Advocate.
Perfect.
Charlize is in there. What I really liked Prometheus because Prometheus had the redhead getting impregnated with the alien in it, and Charlize is right there at Ground Central once again. But all of this celebratory, like, over-intoxication that's with Charlize, I take to be a very big pointer to Babylon.
Positively. Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, Jake didn't highlight on that, but that's all I could get out of that. When I was watching his...
I don't know. I was wondering...
He probably ties it into his Scarlet, for sure. You know, he had that Scarlet... thing there for a while, and you know,
I just thought it was interesting he chose to, it was a different video for him.
Yeah,
I'm noticing him slipping to pop music a bit, which is interesting, but so combining Britney Spears and Charlize Theron, yeah. But I mean, one of the things that you guys used to do was play with the name and show her name as the Throne, like Throne.
Or North.
Right, yeah.
She's actually in that movie North, which is hers mixed up as well.
But the thing that I always found as more of a snicker was King Arthur had, everyone knows about Excalibur, right? That's his sword. He also had a dagger called Ron. Nobody knows about that. And so you can take her name and spell the Ron.
Or Tron.
But so, you know... And then, of course, with if you have
King
a dagger
Kong,
named
King Kong,
Ron,
Mighty Joe Young.
Ron, you're going to, of course, it's just a short hop to Ron Jeremy.
But see, that's the Holy Grail as well. See, like, I like the fact that all over the airwaves right now, we have this Jay-Z, like, cup runneth over, Holy Grail, like, keeps playing every 15 minutes or so. On, it's the same. See, Jesus's wife was Magdalene, or in some circles it's considered to be Mary Magdalene, who was a redhead as well. So you it doesn't take much imagination to see that Jesus and the beast are the same thing.
Does Aeon Flux kind of give you the harlot thing?
Yeah, in a way.
The Babylon, definitely Babylon, eh?
Yeah, I hate that movie, though. I mean, I really am not a person who thinks that there are any bad movies, but I find Aeon Flux so hard to watch. Especially
like the actual movie or the series?
The series was wonderful. I used to love the cartoon.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It's just a pointer, and that's the cool thing about Sync is you can kind of file that way. You can go through the filing cabinet and just pick out the folder with Babylon on it, and you got all these files in there, right?
Right.
But I think you know, for her to take on that role as Aeon Flux takes all of that information and all of that story, and it puts it right up on her, you know?
And if you notice on Twitter, Jake is using the icon of Aeon Flux because it's a pyramid with an eye in it.
Yeah, like you could go into the whole eyelashes, I bet you, with Theron, and I bet you can make a sync video about the highlighting of her eyelashes somehow. Like, there'd be some kind of a thing. Like, words, you know, in the background, there'd be like, eye, and then there'd be somebody getting whipped across the street, you know, getting lashes or some shit. I don't know. Like, I bet you could find.
Well, there's also
I
bet you that Jake's working on it right now, and I don't want to get the, but he's already mentioned it a couple of times, so there's a lot of wheels. There's a lot of wheels involved here, because in the movie Monster, she talks about how the Ferris wheel is a monster. And then in Mighty Joe Young, Charlize Theron witnesses Mighty Joe Young falling off of the Ferris wheel to his death. But there's a young...
The eye, the round circle, the Ferris wheel being an eye.
The eye
and
is closing.
Kills,
that's our 42
she,
minutes, guys. We'll... What? We'll continue for sure. Thank you. You've been listening 42 minutes to production of SyncBook Radio on thesyncbook.com. For more information about SyncBook, our guests, check out past shows or just subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. If you would like to support the show, follow the link on the website to the donation page. And thank you, and don't let the boo hag ride you.
Don't let the boo hag ride you.